Well, if you could turn your Bibles, please, to 1 Kings chapter 18. And as we enter the new year, I think it's important to remind each of us of the necessity for us to be standing for the Lord, even though you may have enormous opposition. And we see that in our reading today in 1 Kings chapter 18, when we come to this story of Elijah. Now, in Elijah's day, there was a spiritual drought amongst many people, and there was also a physical drought in the land. And so, just setting the scene, God's people are in a very difficult situation. And into that scene walks Elijah. And on Mount Carmel, and I've actually had the privilege of being to Mount Carmel and seeing what Mount Carmel looks like, and you can still go there where Elijah stood. But on Mount Carmel on this particular day in 1 Kings chapter 18 stands a lonely prophet and also many of the people of Israel and many false prophets. And poor Elijah is feeling very alone up there on Mount Carmel. But Elijah had to remember that God was with him. And you and I, when we stand for the Lord, we might feel quite lonely. I'd say if you interviewed many pastors, numbers of pastors and numbers of missionaries, if you ask them, have you experienced times of loneliness, they would say yes. Have you experienced times when you're in the heat of the battle and it seems that you have no supporters? And they would say yes. And we can be reminded of the Lord Jesus' ministry when Jesus was arrested at Gethsemane, and the Bible tells us that they all forsook him in that vital hour of Jesus' life when he'd been betrayed by Judas. His friends forsook him. So the scene here in 1 Kings chapter 18 is a lonely prophet, Elijah, and he calls God's people to make a decision. And perhaps God is calling you to make a decision as you begin 2023. And he's calling God's people to make a decision for the Lord. Actually, two decisions. Follow Baal or serve the Lord. If you go to 1 Kings 18:21, the Bible says here, "And Elijah came to all the people and said, 'How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him, but if Baal, follow him.' But the people answered him not a word. Then Elijah said to the people, 'I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men.'" Wow. Felt totally outnumbered by the enemy. One man on Carmel, Mount Carmel, standing for the Lord, and just feels totally outnumbered. Well, what had happened was that God's people had gone into idolatry, and they began to worship false gods, and Elijah gets them to make a decision. Either go for the God of Baal or the God of Israel. And behind those false gods that the Israelites started to worship was actually Satan. And today there's a lot of false gods in our world. But behind every false god and every idol stands Satan, the enemy of our souls. In Elijah's day, there was a climate crisis in the country. And we've got lying prophets today saying there's a climate crisis happening throughout the world. Well, there was a drought that lasted for 3.5 years, and that drought was affecting the whole land of Israel. But at the heart of Israel's climate crisis back then was actually sin. And not only sin, but the prayers of Elijah. Unfortunately, the nation of Israel had been influenced by a corrupt king and queen, and therefore they'd gone into idolatry. You know, you read about this and you think, how could God's people go so far off track? Look at the church today. I was in Canberra yesterday, and there was a church, and I'm sure it wasn't because they were going to be preaching on Noah, but they had a rainbow on their signboards. I'm sure it wasn't advertising a kids' club. I'm sure they were caught up with the spirit of the age. In actual fact, a man told me about a lady that went to that church, and she was absolutely disgusted what happened during the church service. There's a danger for God's people today even to be caught up with the idolatry and the gods and the idols of this world. And that was what was happening back then. But there was a climate crisis, a real climate crisis in his country in his day. And that was attributed really to the sin of the people and also to the prayers of Elijah. Now, Israel was called of God to be a light to the nations. And you and I, as the people of God, as we begin 2023, you are called to be salt and light to the nation of Australia and also to the nations of the world. Isaiah the prophet said this about Israel. Isaiah 49 verse 6, I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. So they were to stand as God's people. God wanted people in that day to be saved, and God wants people in our day to be saved. And the representatives God had for his salvation was the nation of Israel. Well, there was a king on the throne, and his name was Ahab, and Ahab was causing the nation a lot of problems. And the reason why he was a Jew, and the reason why he was causing the nation a lot of problems was he married a lady called Jezebel. And Jezebel goes down in history as a very evil queen. She became the queen of King Ahab, and they were ruling on the throne. She was the daughter of Ethbaal, the Bible tells us, who was the king of the Zidonians, and that's in 1 Kings 16, verse 31. And Ahab's marriage to Jezebel was detrimental both to himself and to the nation. If you're young and single, be careful who you marry. If you marry someone that is not a spiritual person, it can be detrimental to you, to your family, to generations to follow, even to the nation of Australia. 1 Kings 16, verse 32. This is talking about King Ahab. Then he set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built in Samaria, and Ahab made a wooden image. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. What a reputation Ahab had of being an evil king. Well, the lady that he married, Jezebel, she became a very evil, vicious and violent queen, and she promoted idolatry in the nation. Not only did she promote idolatry, but she went on a relentless campaign to exterminate the true prophets of God. To add to her evils, she decided that she would arrange a false conviction and condemnation and elimination of a farmer called Naboth in order to take his vineyard for King Ahab's use. And you see that in 1 Kings 2 verse 1. Now the gods of Jezebel, and when I say the gods, it's a little g, the gods of Jezebel were Baal and Asherah. And when people worshipped those gods, what happened was child sacrifice was included in the worship of those gods, and depraved sexual behaviour was also characteristic of people that worshipped those gods. Jezebel in her day, she personally supported 850 prophets at her table. So she fed these false prophets at the table. So the government in that wouldn't happen these days, would it? But the government back then was supporting false prophets, giving out false messages. And she fed 850 at her table, 1 Kings 18, verse 19. Now, as you look at Elijah's life, you see how God prepares him. He prepares him in the valleys. He prepares him on the mountaintops. God is with him all the time. Elijah didn't have an easy life. Elijah had times of great fear. There was a warrant over him for his execution at one stage by Queen Jezebel. That wouldn't have felt good to know that you had an evil queen hunting for you. But Elijah had the Lord that was supporting him whatever he went through. And whatever you go through in 2023, you must focus on the Lord, not on the difficulties and the trials. You must focus on what the Lord has for you, and you must stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, on Mount Carmel, Elijah has one of his greatest victories. He defeats the false prophets of his day, and subsequently Israel's drought comes to an end. James comments on this in the New Testament, James 5 verse 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruits. So what a wonderful testimony. He had a nature like ours. He was just a normal guy, a normal person like you and I, but he allowed God to touch his heart. And when God touched his heart, Elijah touched the nation. And God wants to use you this year. So Elijah gets to Mount Carmel. And when he goes to Mount Carmel, he's a wanted man. Obadiah, who was serving King Ahab, said this, 1 Kings 18 verse 10, "As the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to hunt for you." So Ahab was sending out people all over the land to search for Elijah. Now, Elijah made an incredible impact for the Lord. And if you stand for the Lord Jesus today, if you fly the flag for Jesus, you're going to experience persecution. Once you start to make an impact for the Lord, the enemy's going to come after you. And that's what Elijah found. Elijah, as I said, was a wanted man. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3 verse 12, "Yea, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." Stand for Jesus in 2023. Watch the arrows fly in your direction. Ephesians 6 verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." We need to stand for the Lord, but we've got his help. Well, Elijah ended up getting a reputation, and the king of Israel gave him that reputation. And the reputation he had was the troubler of Israel. 1 Kings 18 verse 17. "Then it happened when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said to him, 'Is that you, O troubler of Israel?'" Elijah answers this way. And he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals. Now therefore, send and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel, the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table." What a brave man. Ahab's been sending out people to hunt down for Elijah, and Elijah bravely comes into the presence of the king, the most wanted man in the district, turns up before the king and indicates that he's not the troubler of Israel, but actually the king is the one that troubles Israel. Brave man. Elijah was not the troubler of Israel. Do you know that Bible-believing Christians today are being looked at by people as the troublers of Australia? Bible believers around the world are the troublers of the nations. They're the ones to really watch out for. A cardinal in America wrote this in 2010. He said, "I expect to die in my bed. My successor will die in prison. and his successor will die a martyr in the public square. His successor will pick up the shards of a ruined society and slowly help rebuild civilization, as the church has done so often in human history. Now, I'm not saying that this cardinal's a Christian. There are many cardinals that are not Christians. But he has a valid point. I expect to die in my bed. My successor will die in prison, and his successor will die a martyr in the public square. Christians around the world are increasingly seen as fanatics, as people you've got to be careful of. The Greens website, a couple of Australian Greens, a couple of years ago, they were railing against scripture in schools. And listen to what they wrote. The Greens are calling for New South Wales Education Minister Adrian Piccoli to take responsibility for the materials used in special religious education classes in New South Wales and ensure that parents are fully aware of what their children are being taught. No problem with that statement. That's okay. This is where it gets troubling. Greens New South Wales MP John Kay said, "Most parents would immediately withdraw their children from scripture classes if they were aware of the dangerous and outdated messages these materials push. Books being used in New South Wales public school optional scripture classes denigrate contraception and promote abstinence outside marriage and male headship and female submission in marriage." Shock horror. Scripture providers are getting away with messaging that causes untold harm. The more outrageous scripture teaching materials used in New South Wales public schools create a powerful case for reforming special religious education. Maybe not reforming, maybe banning is maybe what they want. Are our senior ladies and senior men and others that are going to scripture school, teaching scripture in schools, are they bringing dangerous materials before the children? Are we to put them on a terrorist list for how dangerous they might be? According to the Greens, SRA teachers are pushing dangerous and outdated messages. You want the most updated message on humanity? It's this book. Amen. You want to know about current events? Read this book. You want to know about history? Read this book. You want to know what's going on today? Read this book. You want to know about world government? Read this book. This book is relevant. It is not outdated. It is an updated book all the time that you read it. Bible-believing Christians are not the troublers of this nation. We are the salt and the light of this nation. The king and queen in that day, they fed these false prophets. And the governments today and the universities today are feeding, and the schools today are feeding false prophets at the tables of taxpayers' money. There's a temptation today to just compromise with the world. And thankfully, Elijah on Mount Carmel stood alone. He was even willing to die for the truth. And he stood there alone, but he wasn't alone because he had God with him. But it felt like he was alone with all the enemies and all the people of Israel. And the people of Israel, they said not a word. Not a word of support for that lonely prophet. The Bible tells us in Romans 12 verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." There's a temptation today for leaders in all tiers of society to just compromise with the world. There's a temptation today for church leaders just to compromise and fall in with the world, to be politically correct. The Bible says in 1 John 2:15, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. I don't know one name of all those 850 prophets. I don't know one name of them in history. We know the name of the God that they served, but Elijah's name lives. 2023, Elijah is famous. The will of God abides forever. All right, so there was a physical drought because there was a spiritual drought. And we know even today, I've got a good friend who's a farmer. And that my friend, he trusts the Lord. And he ploughs his fields and he puts profits into gospel tracts. I'm able to produce a lot of gospel tracts because he's ploughing his fields. And he's sowing also the seed of God's word. But I know if that farmer started to disregard the ways of the Lord and just live for himself, that perhaps his farm would not be as fruitful as it is. He has incredible success on his farm, but he puts the Lord first. The Bible says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will on the flesh reap corruption, will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." 1 Kings 18, here's Elijah on Mount Carmel. He's a lonely prophet, he's vastly outnumbered, he's got a queen that hates him. He's got a king that is hunting him. The queen's killed numbers of prophets already, and yet stands Elijah, that lonely man on the hill, indestructible, unless God allows it. Isaiah 54, verse 17, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord." No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Today, as you think about 2023, as you might already have enemies in your sights, the Lord says that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Trust the Lord. Years before, Joshua had called God's people to make a decision. And Joshua said this in Joshua 24, verse 15. "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." What a great motto. As for me and my house in 2023, we will serve the Lord. You know, you and I have got to make a daily choice to serve God. There's so much temptation for us to have divided loyalties today. Sadly, there are Christians today that have a greater loyalty to sport than to the Lord. There are Christians today that are so worldly it's hard to tell the difference whether they're a Christian or not a Christian. There are Christians today that give more praise to rock stars and sports stars than to the one who made the stars. Someone made this comment, "I look for the church in the world, but I found the world in the church." Elijah was a brave man, but Elijah also was a man of prayer. And his prayers made a difference for his nation. And are you a person of prayer? Do you have a burden to pray? James 5 verse 17, "Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Look at his prayer in 1 Kings 18, 37. "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again." What a prayer for Australia. We could take that prayer and make it our own. "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people, that Aussies may know you, that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again." James 5 verse 16, the effect of fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. What a difference we could make to this nation if we would commit to pray for this nation. If we could commit to pray for our leaders. Elijah's prayers made a difference. Anyone read the story of John Knox? John Knox was a Roman Catholic priest in England. He was known as what is a Scottish reformer in the 1500s. He began to see the errors of Rome and began to speak out against the errors of Rome. Well, Mary, Queen of Scots, made a comment about John Knox, and she's reputed to have said this: "I fear the prayers of John Knox more than all the assembled armies of Europe." What a testimony. She feared his prayers more than all the armies in the entire place of Europe. Elijah had a burden for his nation. And Elijah's prayers were ones to be feared because God answered Elijah's prayers. Do you have a burden for the spiritual health of our nation? Our nation is in desperate need of prayer warriors. Do you have a burden to win souls? Do you have a burden for missions? Are you looking for the Lord's coming? Are you aware of the times that we live in? If hell is real, then souls are going to a Christless eternity. And we're the only ones that are given the job of evangelising the lost. It's not the government. It's not the council. It's not the business entrepreneurs. It's us who are believers in the Lord Jesus. I mean, you might be a business entrepreneur and you've got that as your goal, which is good. But primarily, it's the Church of Jesus Christ that is charged with the job of reaching the lost. You might think today that you're outnumbered. Elijah thought he was outnumbered, but he had the Lord. Hebrews 13 verse 5, "For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Let's look at verse 30 there in 1 Kings 18. "Then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down." What a need today is for the altars of the Lord to be repaired. The home altars of the Lord need to be repaired. You go through the nation and churches are closing down. The altars of the Lord need to be repaired. You go through the nation and you'll see churches are now video shops and all different antique shops and everything like that. The altars of the Lord are broken down and they need repair. How do you repair the Lord's work? You do it with his words and you do it with servants that are completely committed to the Lord. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bull in pieces and laid it on the wood and said, fill 4 water pots with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. I want you to notice that it's Elijah doing this. We don't read of anyone else in Israel that's giving him a hand. One by one, he's putting down those stones. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob. I can imagine him just grabbing one of those stones and saying, Lord, this is for the tribe of Reuben, Lord. And he places that down. Lord, this is the tribe of Simeon, Lord. Lord, make them stand for you. And he places that one down. Lord, this is for the tribe of Levi. And I'm putting that down and I'm praying for the tribe of Levi that they might stand out for you. And he puts that down. A lonely prophet, 12 stones, willing to serve the Lord alone. A prophet that prayed and a prophet that had victory. Verse 36, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel and I am your servant and that I have done all things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. The lonely prophet had a great victory in his day. He was a conqueror over evil. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. As you enter 2023, are you going to stand as more than a conqueror? When that boss is at you day after day, when you've got that difficult situation, are you going to stand as I'm more than a conqueror? When that person in your family is persecuting you and day after day is having a go at you because you have faith in the Lord Jesus, are you going to stand as more than a conqueror? When you're being channeled into compromising in your life in 2023, are you going to stand as more than a conqueror? I hope you will. I hope I will. Paul said, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our land needs Elijahs today. We need men and women that will stand against the tides of apostasy and evil in our day. We need prayer warriors who claim the victory when vastly outnumbered by the enemy. We need men and women who will stand for God's glory and God's name in a world that is largely in a spiritual drought. We need men and women who will repair the broken altars of our nation. There are broken churches everywhere that are broken, and broken churches don't help broken communities. We need churches to be alive again. We need churches, we need to have pulpits and pastors that are on fire for the Lord Jesus. These are some of the things that we need to pray for. And we need men and women who expect God to take action against the enemy's plans. Elijah wanted the people of God to make a choice, either to follow the true God or to follow and serve Baal, the false god of the weather. In today's world, we've got climate crisis being from all four corners of the earth being broadcast at us. We've got fear being broadcast day and night over our TVs. We've got fear of CO2, and now fear of nitrogen, and CO2 and nitrogen are essential elements in our life. Now, I know that there are local climate crises, but even there is hope when there are local climate crises. Where do we find the hope? Well, it's in the Word of God in 2 Chronicles 7 verse 13. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. I've recently written an article in a Christian magazine, and this is part of what I say in the article, and I'm relating it to Elijah today. In today's world, a climate crisis is being promoted relentlessly around the world by false climate change prophets. These doomsday prophets are in government circles, the media, the WEF and the UN, and the various green movements, including the recently founded environmental group called Extinction Rebellion. The contemporary climate change prophets are constantly preaching doom to the world and had succeeded in deceiving people from all walks of life, including those within the church, that CO2 levels must be decreased for the survivability of the planet. These false climate prophets completely ignore the fact that CO2 brings life to the planet, whereas the root cause of this planet's decline is actually sin and not CO2. The sin of Adam and Eve brought a curse upon the natural world, Genesis 3:17-19, which still affects us today. Hundreds of years after Adam and Eve's rebellion, there was a huge climate catastrophe again, not brought on by CO2 levels, but by the sin level of mankind, Genesis 6-7. The population in Noah's day became so evil that God judged the entire world with a universal flood, of which the evidence of the flood is still seen today. Prior to Noah's flood, Adam and Eve were given responsibilities upon the earth. Adam and Eve were to have dominion over God's creation, and they were to be fruitful and to multiply. It's being reversed today. They want creation to have dominion over us. Genesis 12:26-28, you can read about it then. Also, the psalmist wrote, "Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands." This is talking about mankind. "Thou hast put all things under his feet." Psalm 8:6. In order for mankind to be fruitful and to multiply, God has given us all the resources needed on our planet for humanity to flourish. The resources provided by God include plants and animals, the water we drink, the sunlight we receive, the elements in the air, as well as the rich reserves beneath the ground and the sea. God's desire was for life, abundant life, on this planet, whilst Satan's desire for this planet was, and still is, death. The Lord Jesus, in John chapter 8, describes Satan as both a murderer and a liar and the father of lies. In Elijah's day, in the land of Israel, false prophets abounded who willingly worshipped the climate idols and gods of their times. Jezebel, with her government funding, supported hundreds of these false prophets by feeding them at her table. Today, the false climate prophets keep prophesying their climate crisis in order to be fed at the tables of corrupt governments, big business, educational institutions, as well as the WEF and the UN. Corrupt climate prophets promote corrupt climate policies which are designed in the end to steal, kill and destroy amongst the nations. Jezebel's gods were Baal and Asherah, and the worship of these gods included child sacrifice to appease these pagan deities and also depraved sexual acts with temple priests and priestesses. Under Jezebel's reign, the few truth-tellers had to be silenced and eliminated. And I say that the Apostle Peter warned the early church that false teachers would come amongst them. And they're here today. They are bound today, the false teachers. And just to conclude, today it is as if we stand in the days of Elijah. Jezebel's prophets seem to outnumber God's true prophets, and there is a concerted effort by government and media to eliminate the voices of truth-tellers that counteract the gods of climate. Deviant sexual behaviour also abounds as many worship on their own altars of self, seduction and sexual depravity. Added to this is the numerous lives of little children that are sacrificed on a daily basis on the altars of the abortionists. Remember also poor Naboth, who refused a property acquisition by Ahab's government, and so an evil plot was undertaken to gain possession of his land. Today also we are seeing an assault on free enterprise and on farmers with the deceptive takeover of their properties to help curb the so-called new threat of nitrogen emissions. And you read about the plight of the Dutch farmers today, that have had farms in their hands for centuries in Holland, and the government is deliberately driving those farmers off their land. Sadly, like God's people on Mount Carmel, the church is strangely silent when confronted with the choice to follow either the Creator God or the pagan climate gods of Baal. It is God who rules the climate and not man. Genesis 8 verse 22, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease, because God is in control. Elijah had the victory on Mount Carmel, but where are the Elijahs of God today? Elijah's God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But where are the Elijahs of God? We need men and women and boys and girls that will stand for the Lord Jesus. Our greatest danger is not CO2. Our greatest danger is sin. And that's why the Lord Jesus came from heaven to this earth to deal with our biggest problem, and that is sin. And Jesus said in John chapter 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knows me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. In 2023, are you willing to even perhaps lay down your life for the sheep? The Lord Jesus laid down his life because of our sin, dying on that cruel cross of Calvary. Elijah's God lives today, but where are the Elijahs of God?